Mike would read our scripture.
Sure.
His brother Larry wasn't here.
Get everything on track here since we had to make a fast change at the start. We're not there yet.
Let me go ahead, Joe.
Now we're ready. We're getting everything situated. I apologize. Now we're ready. So whenever you're ready, right. Pastor Mike.
1 Samuel 17, verse 31 verses. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Sakal and Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Sokal and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and 1 span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 500 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up in battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of a Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul in war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Israelite came forward every morning and evening and stood his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to the camp. Take along each these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man. He burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what I have done," said David. "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Bless these words.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, for reading the scripture. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for your amazing creation that we see as we come out to worship you. Thank you, Father, that we can come out and worship you in freedom without the fear of any harm to us. Thank you for your word that Pastor Mike just read. Thank you that it is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you that you have given it to us, that we can look back upon it and learn from it and grow in your word. Thank you for your son Jesus that came to earth as the perfect sacrifice, died on the cross for our sins, and was resurrected on the third day, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Thank you in his name. Thank you for the great lesson and refresher last week on the Holy Spirit. We ask you that the Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct the remainder of this spirit, of this service. Thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, as we all know, I'm sure that this story is very familiar to all of us. And at first, I didn't know when Pastor Mike divided it up, but as Heidi and I studied and Heidi prepared the message, we see that it's a really good way for Pastor Mike to divide up this chapter. And we know that next Sunday it will be the amazing conclusion of what happens with Goliath. And we all know, of course, what happens. But this is also, as all of the verses in the Bible has a great lesson, this also, this part of chapter 17 has an amazing lesson for us as well. So as Pastor Mike just read, the setting takes place in which the army of the Philistines and the army of the Israelites were drawn up on opposite sides of the Valley of Elah. From what is read, each party was on the hill in the valley between them. So whichever army starts off, they're at a disadvantage because the opposing army has them over top of them. So there we sat, you know, not doing anything. And we heard that the banks were steep and there's a deep ravine making it difficult to cross the valley. As we saw, the author went into much detail to describe Goliath. So let's take a look at his size and investigate how big Goliath really was. A cubit is an ancient unit of length that varied depending on the area and culture in which it was used. There was more than one standard of length for the cubit in ancient Israel. In verse 4 it says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." This is estimated to be about 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor weighing 5,000 shekels, which is about 125 pounds. As we read, on his legs he wore bronze greaves. Greaves were the pieces of armor to protect his shins from the opponent's blades. He had a bronze javelin slung on his back. Goliath's spear shaft was like that of a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. A weaver's beam was strong, long, rounded wooden pole used at the top of a loom to hold the warp or vertical threads. The biblical reference of a weaver's beam is most likely in respect to the unusual thickness and strength of the shaft rather than its length. The iron point weighed 600 shekels, which is 15 pounds. According to the scholars, all these pieces of arms and armor together weighed a lot. It says a shield bearer went ahead of him. It does not give the details of the shield bearer, but considering the weight of everything else, this fellow must have been a pretty good sized guy also. As we can see, moving to verse 8, Goliath would shout and taunt the Israelites morning and night. He wanted a man chosen to come and fight him. Goliath made the rule that if he won, then the Israelites would serve the Philistines. Verse 11, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And looking back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, it says, as we all remember, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. So we know that Saul now had nothing to offer, and there was great fear. The physical description of Goliath is one of the longest in Scripture, intended to demonstrate just how powerful and intimidating he was. The taunts of Goliath imply defiance and disrespect to our God. The Israelites had a lot of fear, as Goliath's appearance invoked fear, but also his candor caused psychological fear. Moving on to verses 12 through 15, takes the setting back to Bethlehem, and it mentions that David went back and forth serving Saul and tending his father's sheep. We see that David was dividing his time between the royal court, where he was one of Saul's armor bearers and would play the lyre, and the other half of his time he would be tending his father's sheep as a shepherd. During this time, his father requested that David take an ephah of roasted grain and 10 loaves of bread to his 3 brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. According to one of the commentaries from Mark Dunnigan, the families of the soldiers supplied the rations for their relatives and others in the rank. We know the journey from Bethlehem to the Valley of Elah was about 15 miles, and the grain weighed around 36 pounds. This would have started to feel heavy after 15 miles. David likely had a lot of stamina. So we see that David leaves his flock in the care of another shepherd to set out to the valley. This would be similar to us having a neighbor or a loved one or a family member watch our pets while we went on vacation. We know that they're in good hands. We would not pick somebody that would not take good care of our pets. David reaches the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions. David left the food with the keeper of supplies and ran to the battle lines to see how his brothers were doing. As they were talking, Goliath shouted out his usual defiant cry. In reading and watching a sermon by Alistair Begg called "Why Have You Come Down," he brings out something out of the verses that is easy for us to skim over and miss. But he stresses to his congregation at the end of verses 23, and he stressed, "And David heard it." This same battle cry from Goliath had been occurring for 40 days, and the Israelites were listening but not hearing. They were listening, but not understanding. They were very much afraid, but David heard Goliath. So young David comes up with two questions, as we saw in our verses today. The first question, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this great disgrace from Israel? We see in the verses that the awards and the incentives are great, yet no one had gone to battle to try to defeat Goliath yet. Perhaps David was in disbelief that with such a great reward that no one had gone so far. The incentives included great wealth, the king's daughter in marriage, and exempt from taxes. David's second question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He is asking, what in the world is going on here? In the eyes of Israel, they saw Goliath as a large man. But in the eyes of David, Goliath was an uncircumcised Philistine. David injects the godly question into this episode. Doesn't having a living God make the difference in all of this? Israel thought the Philistine invulnerable, but for David, he was only an uncircumcised thug who couldn't hold a candle to our living God. These two questions were asked in the verses twice, and both times, the first question is answered in saying what the person gets if he defeats the Goliath. However, the second question is just brushed over and not answered by the Israelites. They simply say, when asked both questions, that this is what will be done for the man who kills him. They never address the second question. As the Israelite soldiers focused on the danger of the battle or the material awards to be won, David alone focused on the reputation of Israel and the honor of our living God. This truly shows David to be a man after God's own heart. He cares about the things God cares about. He saw the problem in spiritual terms, not in material or fleshly terms. In verse 28, we see brother Eliab, who we remember is Jesse's oldest son, and of course David's brother. Eliab heard David speaking with the men and become angry and ask, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle." We can see here the brother rivalry. Eliab did not know David's heart. We're not sure how much older he was than David, but it's pretty obvious that he lacked something that David had. As we all know from our previous Sundays in this study of 1 Samuel, the brother Eliab has had a rough few months. He was the eldest brother in his father's house. It was his responsibility to carry forth his father's birthright. Yet, in the 16th chapter, when Samuel came to Jesse's house looking to anoint a new king for Israel, he, along with all of his brothers, were passed over in favor of young David. Eliab thinks that he's a show-off. Now, to make matters worse, David is out there talking like a man who is about to stand up to Goliath. Eliab has had enough of all this. And David's response is like any younger brother. And growing up, I was the younger brother. Now, what have I done? Can I even speak? We can see the banter that occurs with a sibling rivalry. And so he turns away, finds another little cluster of individuals, spoke to them in the same way. Presumably he said, "You know, what is it with this big uncircumcised Philistine that he would challenge the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him again as before. In other words, they said, "Well, you know what you get." David must have said, "That's not what I'm asking." And further referencing from the sermon from Alistair Begg, he turned to Matthew chapter 13. I'll turn there real quickly. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 57, and this was Jesus when he went back to Bethlehem. So starting in verse 54 says, "Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense with him. But Jesus said to him, A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." So as we see the similarity in these verses that is occurring with David, David is not getting pushback from the declaration that he does from unknown warriors on the side of the hill, but he's getting the pushback from his own family. Despised by his own brothers, who would have thought that this little man named David would become the champion of Israel? Who does think that all the massive problems of the world, all the issues and problems and challenges in our individual lives, find their ultimate solution in the death of a Galilean carpenter on a Judean hillside in AD 33? Eliab could only see how big Goliath was, while David could only see how big God was. When we fail to display great confidence in the ability of God, we are missing out on some of life's great opportunities. It was with great confidence in God that Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. It was in great confidence in God that Joshua called on Israel to trust in God and go into the promised land. And it was with great confidence in God that Stephen testified of God's greatness even when it would cost him his own life. Times hasn't changed all that much in this regard. If we want to live a life of accomplishment, we must have great confidence in God. The words of Habakkuk should always echo in our hearts and minds. And I will turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 really quickly. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The writer goes on to say, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior." Amen. In closing today, I want to end with a devotion called Recognizing Potential by Inspiration Ministries. Eliab had known David all of his life. After all, it was his older brother. On the day when Israel's armies faced the Philistines, Eliab saw David and assumed that he was looking for a way to escape his duties. He thought David was insolent and irresponsible and had a wicked heart. On that same day, God saw these same traits and actions. However, instead of seeing them in a negative light, God saw them as a basis of potential. God knew that David needed to be molded. God knew that David wasn't perfect. But he also knew that Israel needed a man like David who was willing to stand against Goliath and Israel's enemies. What Eliab saw was insolence became the boldness that David employed as Israel's general and king. What Eliab saw as wickedness of the heart became David's willingness to stand alone to lead Israel to a new future. What Eliab saw as David's inexperience became the basis of David's brazen faith in God. What Eliab saw as negative was what God saw as David's potential for greatness and leadership. In the same way, God sees potential in us. The world might see weakness or mistakes. They may focus on our imperfections and flaws. But God is ready to use all of these characteristics for good. You can be like Eliab and forever focus on the negative qualities in yourself or others. Or you can ask God to allow us to see your potential and the potential of others from His perspective. Make sure that we surrender our life into His hands and allow Him to shape our character that we might fulfill the potentials that He sees in us. And one humorous part, the army of Israel looked at Goliath, and he was so big, they thought, how can they kill him? And in hindsight, in fun, David may have looked at Goliath so big, and he may have said, how can I miss him? So let's go to prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this message. Thank you once again for all the things that we can learn from these your living word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to open our heart and let us understand what your living word is saying. Thank you for David the king and his faith in you, that he would go forward in your name and do your will. Thank you for all these things again that we have learned. Thank you for this little church on the hill. Please send us out into the world in this next week and let us be more like David and stand up for you and be through your perfect son, Jesus, be more like him and look to him as our goal in life. Thank you for all these things. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Final hymn, 378. 378.